My name is Anna Fortner, and I like early mornings and writing poetry. This is a poem I've written over the last 5 mornings or so, and it's titled Hold Fast. Feel the weight of words on your tongue, the snap they make in the ear, how they land. Line them up along the surface of things and take measure of the world. Delight in the sparks you make, banging one word against another. Learn to make fire, to cut, edge, shape, link mortise to tenon. Find your dimensions, bear your weight. Keep an eye to the shadows. Hidden there are the words behind the words. Vulnerability christens confidence. Anger blooms out of love's fear. To see only what's glinting on the surface is to live in a straw house. You must save yourself. Use what you've got to keep warm and dive deep. Harvest words like mollusks. Within their calcified shells is the soft meat that will sustain you. Pearls to string into love letters. Silence is a siren song. What exists is what you can name. Hold fast to this. The words like apples, the sweet ones that bruise, tend to them. And in the fall, throw open the doors and windows of your heart house. Drag the table into the garden, out under the gold-edged leaves, their corners illumined by the late afternoon sun. Invite everyone you know and everyone you don't. Feast together at this banquet of words we have for what matters most. Each a blessing, each a taste of what you know. It is no fun to worship at a church of one. Lay your words in cold, clear water. Know their meaning will always be more than you can see. Their journey begun well before yours and long as wide as a river. When sometime hence you are disintegrating in salty water, trust the pull of your body. It's turning toward the crystalline source from which you came. Here you can return again and again to what is deepest and best about yourself. The impetus for this poem was a conversation I had with my husband recently, in which I shared with him my delight at discovering that photismos is an ancient word for baptism and that it shares a root with photosynthesis. That, of course, connecting it to this idea of light and baptism being a kind of stepping into the light. His question was, why do I find delight in that connection? And it caught me off guard and actually even annoyed me a little bit. But in truth, I didn't immediately have ready the words to explain why that was a delight. And I know certainly, though, that there is great power in words. And so in the end, the poem I wrote became a kind of answer to that question, though certainly a much larger answer than he was wanting. And so in the first stanza, I'm playing with this idea of words as tools, that they have a functional purpose that is of great value, but that ultimately too, they are magical, that with them we can make fire and come to know who we are, and our own strengths. And I think when I initially started writing that paragraph, I actually had in mind the earliest stages of human development, you know, thinking that this was a time unique to our toddler years or even our infancy. And what I came to understand as I was writing the stanzas, that in fact these are experiences I have with words all the time, and I'm 40. Two, I wanted to convey something that David White, the the poet in Consolations is so good about conveying. And that's the, as I write in the poem, the words behind the words. And often he's speaking about the emotions behind the emotions, but I don't know that the distinction is all that important. Words are emotions, and we have to express them so often in words. What I was wanting to do in that poem is talk about the power of one knowing the words behind the words. So often as a parent, I find myself wanting to help my girls name those emotions. In many ways, to expand their available reality. As Christian Wiman speaks so beautifully to that idea. That stanza works with a metaphor of the Henyo women in Korea. These are the women who dive into the ocean for mollusks. And in fact, it's work that they came to do after the wars that ravaged that part of the world and the loss of so many men. Essentially, these women just had to step up and do this work. And what it's done is created a small but nonetheless powerful matriarchal community. And it's interesting because if you read the Wikipedia entry, it says women were essentially forced into the position of doing this work even when pregnant. And I found it fascinating to highlight that point. I mean, really what that line is saying is that even at risk to the thing of greatest importance to them, they had to dive deep into these waters. And I think in many ways, that's what we all have to do. At risk to the things we believe to be most important, we have to dive deep into these waters ourselves, the words behind the words we speak. Because what's there is indeed the soft meat that will sustain us and the pearls that we will string like love letters. And there's absolutely, and I don't think this is unique to women, but it's certainly something I know a number of us have struggled with. There is a certain, silence is a siren song. And we have to push past that. We have to speak our truths. And in fact, we have to be able to name things, because in naming them, we bring them into existence in a way they aren't otherwise. As much as I delighted in knowing photismos was an ancient word for baptism, it wasn't until I had to name why that was a delight that it really was consciously a delight. It took on a greater fervor in having the words to explain that. And then, of course, there are the words that I've only come to know in the last 9 months or so. Those words that exist in the realm of religion. And what's been so exciting about having those words is that they do both clarify and allow me to meet again and again what does matter most to me. I think, like many people, I shunned those words, avoided those words, and in truth was seeing a very limited part of what those words mean. And so what I wanted to get at in the third stanza of this poem is that, in fact, these words are synonyms, and we need to not overlook them because of the baggage individually or culturally we've ascribed to them. That we can indeed feast on these words and can do so best when we treat them as metaphor. Words saying the same thing in slightly different ways and giving us that opportunity to taste the, again, white here, the single malt elixir of their meaning. In the final stanza, I really wanted to get at the way words can fortify who we are. And actually, for some time, I'd been wanting to reference salmon or use salmon as a metaphor in a poem, and this was finally my opportunity. So I speak there to this pool of waters, one's head waters, and the laying of words there, a kind of storing of our words there. And that much as that water is clear and cold, so too should our language be. It should be its purest when we reach for it. But that inevitably we leave those headwaters, we head to the ocean, and we're beat up and battered and find ourselves disintegrating in salty waters, whatever that looks like. A marriage that's faltering, work that isn't sustaining, motherhood that you think you keep screwing up. And I think there's a way the body does know that what you need to do is return to those headwaters, to that clean, clear water, to return again to what's best in yourself. And heal and start again. This poem is titled Hold Fast. Feel the weight of words on your tongue, the snap they make in the ear, how they land. Line them up along the surface of things and take measure of the world. Delight in the sparks you make, banging one word against another. Learn to make fire, to cut, edge, shape, link mortise to tenon. Find your dimensions, bear your weight. Keep an eye to the shadows. Hidden there are the words behind the words. Vulnerability christens confidence. Anger blooms out of love's fear. To see only what's glinting on the surface is to live in a straw house. You must save yourself. Use what you've got to keep warm and dive deep. Harvest words like mollusks. Within their calcified shell is the soft meat that will sustain you. Pearls to string into love letters. Silence is a siren song. What exists is what you can name. Hold fast to this. The words like apples, the sweet ones that bruise, tend to them. And in the fall, throw open the doors and windows of your heart house. Drag the table into the garden, out under the gold-edged leaves, their corners illumined by the late afternoon sun. Invite everyone you know and everyone you don't. Feast together at this banquet of words we have for what matters most. Each a blessing, each a taste of what you know. It is no fun to worship at a church of one. Lay your words in cold, clear water. Know their meaning will always be more than you can see. Their journey begun well before yours, and long and wide as a river. When some time hence you are disintegrating in salty water, trust the pull of your body. It's turning toward the crystalline source from which you came. Here you can return again and again to what is deepest and best about yourself. My name is Anna Fortner, and I like early mornings and writing poetry. This is a poem I've written over the last 5 mornings or so, and it's titled Hold Fast. Feel the weight of words on your tongue, the snap they make in the ear, how they land. Line them up along the surface of things and take measure of the world. Delight in the sparks you make, banging one word against another. Learn to make fire, to cut, edge, shape, link mortise to tenon. Find your dimensions, bear your weight. Keep an eye to the shadows. Hidden there are the words behind the words. Vulnerability christens confidence. Anger blooms out of love's fear. To see only what's glinting on the surface is to live in a straw house. You must save yourself. Use what you've got to keep warm and dive deep. Harvest words like mollusks. Within their calcified shells is the soft meat that will sustain you. pearls to string into love letters. Silence is a siren song. What exists is what you can name. Hold fast to this. The words like apples, the sweet ones that bruise, tend to them. And in the fall, throw open the doors and windows of your heart house. Drag the table into the garden, out under the gold-edged leaves, their corners illumined by the late afternoon sun. Invite everyone you know and everyone you don't. Feast together at this banquet of words we have for what matters most. Each a blessing, each a taste of what you know. It is no fun to worship at a church of one. Lay your words in cold, clear water. Know their meaning will always be more than you can see. Their journey begun well before yours and long as wide as a river. When sometime hence you are disintegrating in salty water, trust the pull of your body. It's turning toward the crystalline source from which you came. Here you can return again and again to what is deepest and best about yourself. The impetus for this poem was a conversation I had with my husband recently, in which I shared with him my delight at discovering that photismos is an ancient word for baptism, and that it shares a root with photosynthesis. That, of course, connecting it to this idea of light and baptism being a kind of stepping into the light. His question was, why do I find delight in that connection? And it caught me off guard and actually even annoyed me a little bit. But in truth, I didn't immediately have ready the words to explain why that was a delight. And I know certainly, though, that there is great power in words. And so in the end, the poem I wrote became a kind of answer to that question, though certainly a much larger answer than he was wanting. And so in the first stanza, I'm playing with this idea of words as tools, that they have a functional purpose that is of great value, but that ultimately, too, they are magical, that with them we can make fire and come to know who we are, and our own strengths. And I think when I initially started writing that paragraph, I actually had in mind the earliest stages of human development, you know, thinking that this was a time unique to our toddler years or even our infancy. And what I came to understand as I was writing the stanzas, that in fact, these are experiences I have with words all the time, and I'm 40. Two, I wanted to convey something that David White, the poet in Consolations, is so good about conveying, and that's the, as I write in the poem, the words behind the words. And often he's speaking about the emotions behind the emotions, but I don't know that the distinction is all that important. Words are emotions, and we have to express them so often in words. What I was wanting to do in that poem is talk about the power of one knowing the words behind the words. So often as a parent, I find myself wanting to help my girls name those emotions. In many ways, to expand their available reality. As Christian Wiman speaks so beautifully to that idea. That stanza works with a metaphor of the Henyo women in Korea. These are the women who dive into the ocean for mollusks. And in fact, it's work that they came to do after the wars that ravaged that part of the world and the loss of so many men. Essentially, these women just had to step up and do this work. And what it's done is created a small but nonetheless powerful matriarchal community. And it's interesting because if you read the Wikipedia entry, it says women were essentially forced into the position of doing this work even when pregnant. And I found it fascinating to highlight that point. I mean, really what that line is saying is that even at risk to the thing of greatest importance to them, they had to dive deep into these waters. And I think in many ways, that's what we all have to do. At risk to the things we believe to be most important, we have to dive deep into these waters ourselves, the words behind the words we speak. Because what's there is indeed the soft meat that will sustain us and the pearls that we will string like love letters. And there is absolutely, and I don't think this is unique to women, but it's certainly something I know a number of us have struggled with. There is a certain, silence is a siren song. And we have to push past that. We have to speak our truths. And in fact, we have to be able to name things, because in naming them, we bring them into existence in a way they aren't otherwise. As much as I delighted in knowing photismos was an ancient word for baptism, it wasn't until I had to name why that was a delight that it really was consciously a delight. It took on a greater fervor in having the words to explain that. And then, of course, there are the words that I've only come to know in the last 9 months or so. Those words that exist in the realm of religion. And what's been so exciting about having those words is that they do both clarify and allow me to meet again and again what does matter most to me. I think, like many people, I shunned those words, avoided those words, and in truth was seeing a very limited part of what those words mean. And so what I wanted to get at in the third stanza of this poem is that, in fact, these words are synonyms, and we need to not overlook them because of the baggage individually or culturally we've ascribed to them. That we can indeed feast on these words, and can do so best when we treat them as metaphor. Words saying the same thing in slightly different ways, and giving us that opportunity to taste the, again, white here, the single malt elixir of their meaning. In the final stanza, I really wanted to get at the way words can fortify who we are. And actually, for some time, I'd been wanting to reference salmon or use salmon as a metaphor in a poem, and this was finally my opportunity. So I speak there to this pool of waters, one's headwaters, and the laying of words there, a kind of storing of our words there. And that much as that water is clear and cold, so too should our language be. It should be its purest when we reach for it. But that inevitably we leave those headwaters, we head to the ocean, and we're beat up and battered and find ourselves disintegrating in salty waters, whatever that looks like. A marriage that's faltering, work that isn't sustaining, motherhood that you think you keep screwing up. And I think there's a way the body does know that what you need to do is return to those headwaters, to that clean, clear water, to return again to what's best in yourself. and heal and start again. This poem is titled Hold Fast. Feel the weight of words on your tongue, the snap they make in the ear, how they land. Line them up along the surface of things and take measure of the world. Delight in the sparks you make, banging one word against another. Learn to make fire, to cut, edge, shape, link mortise to tenon. Find your dimensions, bear your weight. Keep an eye to the shadows. Hidden there are the words behind the words. Vulnerability christens confidence. Anger blooms out of love's fear. To see only what's glinting on the surface is to live in a straw house. You must save yourself. Use what you've got to keep warm and dive deep. Harvest words like mollusks. Within their calcified shell is the soft meat that will sustain you. Pearls to string into love letters. Silence is a siren song. What exists is what you can name. Hold fast to this. The words like apples, the sweet ones that bruise, tend to them. And in the fall, throw open the doors and windows of your heart house. Drag the table into the garden, out under the gold-edged leaves, their corners illumined by the late afternoon sun. Invite everyone you know and everyone you don't. Feast together at this banquet of words we have for what matters most. Each a blessing, each a taste of what you know. It is no fun to worship at a church of one. Lay your words in cold, clear water. Know their meaning will always be more than you can see. Their journey begun well before yours, and long and wide as a river. When some time hence you are disintegrating in salty water, trust the pull of your body. It's turning toward the crystalline source from which you came. Here you can return again and again to what is deepest and best about yourself.